Hello, World Cup Chasers. We are here for the third episode. It is Samoa time. We've had England, we've had Greece. We're three quarters of the way through Group A, and it's time to talk about one of the most hotly anticipated teams at the Rugby League World Cup. But I need someone to talk about it with, and that is, of course, Michael Carboni. Cabs.
What is up, Mike? Always happy to be here, mate, with you on this new show. And by the time we record this, it'll probably be the most popular show on the Chasing Kangaroos Media Network. Thank you, of course, to Raw Sports Rugby League, theraw.com.au, where you are probably one of their most famous rugby league writers next to the famous Mary Kay as well. It's great to be part of it all, mate. And as you said, Samoa, this is the nation that we're all waiting to watch at this World Cup. Everyone has predicted that they're going to do a Tonga, and we're going to find out today if you and I predict the same thing.
Yeah, it's funny actually, because everyone I've spoke to is involved with the Samoan team. I've said, it's like you're going to be the new Tonga, and they sort of look at me like, we're the original Samoa.
I love that.
I don't think there's anything worse that they could be considered in any way other than better than Tonga. But I think that's, they love each other, but also kind of, they've got a one-up. It's like when Ireland plays Scotland, we both agree on something about England.
About England, that's right.
But we've got to be better than each other.
So Samoa and Tonga, do they agree in their not, I won't say hatred, that's too strong a word, but their rivalry with New Zealand, or is it Australia that they have a rivalry with?
I think they want to beat each other first and foremost. I think that's, yeah. That's the, you got to get the bragging rights on your Pacific Island. Or Pacific Island Network.
This is why Samoa v Tonga, State of Origin style, every year. Bring it on. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about World Cups. And, mate, you've got a great chat to headline this episode. You've pulled out all stops, mate. We've seen you with some great former and current NRL players with the England and Greece episode. But you've pulled it all out today. Tell us who our headlining act for the Samoa episode is.
Well, you know, you go to the chairman of the board, the chief energy officer himself. So I went out to Penrith and had a chat with Jerome Luai. He was very enthusiastic, as he always is. He actually is a little bonus for you. When we do Fiji a little bit down the line, I did that on the same day. And Jerome Luai was so excited about my chat with Sunia Taruva for Fiji that he decided he was going to join in that as well. He's like I was going to call him a little ball of energy, but he's little for a footy player, but he's not little for anybody else.
Probably bigger than you and I. And spoiler alert, Sunia Taruva for the Fijian episode later on down the track. But, mate, I've been looking forward to listening to this one ever since you told me you've got him on World Cup Chasers. So why don't we go and have a listen?
Here is me out in Penrith with the man himself, the Chief Energy Officer, Jerome Luai. Talofa, Kangaroo Chasers. We're here with Jerome Luai from Samoa.
Talofa.
Mate, firstly, how's the injury? Are you going to be back for the World Cup? You got to be.
Yeah. No, I'll be back come finals time. Hopefully I'll be, in good shape and refreshed and, go well in these finals.
And you got to be ready for the World Cup because Game 1 Samoa is going to be against England. How exciting is that going to be?
Yeah, it's definitely a big one, a big test for our side. Obviously, got to get picked in the team first, but... if that does come to fruition, then it'll be exciting times for Samoa and, England as well because, it's a first opener in their home turf, so it'll be pretty crazy.
And obviously, the last World Cup you went, you never played an NRL game. Mm. Youngest guy in the squad. Mm. This year you're going to go through as one of the leaders. Like, what have you taken on in this time that's going to benefit Samoa from being the young guy to the old guy?
Yeah, it's... just really thankful for, them giving me an opportunity, I guess, just to be around those guys in camp and stuff. I'm sure there'll be a couple of boys in my situation where I was back a few years ago. So what they've done for me back then, I'm sure I'll try and do the same for them and just be that leader and role model for them. Just let my footy do the talking, I guess. I've played in a lot of big games now, so all those experiences will definitely help me, be some sort of leader there.
And you're going to have a lot of young guys. You're going to have a lot of young guys from here out of the Panthers as well. So have you spoken to Taylor May and Isaac Pongo and people like that about what it's like to go to a World Cup and play for Samoa?
Not really. I think I want to let them experience it for themselves, but they're definitely excited about that opportunity. So I think they know in their minds there are a lot of talented outside backs there that are available for selection. So they've got their work cut out for them. But yeah, if we are all selected, it'll be a good time for us all.
And it's something that, that you've noticed over the years here at the Panthers, like that someone influence in terms of the prayer circles after the game. The way that you guys conduct yourself seems very sort of orientated around your culture, and it's such a huge part of the Panthers. Mm. How do you think that will translate into the national team?
Yeah, it will be similar to what we have here at Penrith. Yeah, Samoan culture is God and family at the forefront, so that's definitely what we try to portray there with praying after the game and being very happy every day training with each other. So hopefully we'll already be there in the Samoan camp and environment. So yeah, can't wait to get there with the boys.
And you mentioned that the energy you bring, you're the chief energy officer, I believe they call you, for the Blues. Is that going to be your role at Samoa, or is there somebody else with more energy than you?
I think at Penrith, Tito's got me covered, definitely. I'm not too sure about Samoa and that. Any other camp, go in there, be yourself, and enjoy the other boys' company, and then obviously prepare for the game. So, yeah, can't wait.
I think one of the most interesting things about your team now is obviously you've got guys like yourself and the generation coming through at the Panthers, but you've also got older guys, Marty Tapo, I think, you've played for Samoa for a lot of years.
Yeah.
We've got that, we've gone from being kind of an outsider nation to one of the favourites for the World Cup. How important is it to have that continuity that runs through the squad and the guys who sort of bring the culture from way back?
Yeah, it's obviously important. Good for the next generation to have those older guys there. They have been there and done it before, and live and breathe Samoa as well. So as Marty does, he's very passionate about the Samoan culture, and what he's going to bring to the team will be huge for us younger boys.
And what's the link back between, obviously we have a large Samoan community here in Western Sydney, there's lots of people in New Zealand as well, people up in Queensland, and then to the actual people back in the island. I think I spoke to Daniel Tupu about Tonga, about they did a little tour around Tonga after the 2017 World Cup.
Yeah.
Do you think that's the sort of thing Samoa should be doing? Get yourself back to the island and have a big party.
Yeah, definitely. I've only been there once, and that was with the first World Cup. I was lucky enough to get back there and obviously see Samoa and what goes on and around there, and that's what makes me so passionate about it now. I'm motivated to learn more about the heritage inside me. So it's been a couple of years now since 2017, but hopefully we can go well, and then we can go back to Samoa afterwards.
And you've heard, I guess you haven't played in England before as well, right?
Yeah, I haven't really travelled anywhere apart from footy, which is NZ. And around Australia, so it'll be my first time playing in England. Heard it's pretty chilly over there that time around, so I'll have to pack a couple of puffy jackets and some skins as well.
Mate, you wear a hat when it's warm. Today I should be in shorts and t-shirt, and you came in with a beanie.
Oh, I love my beanies, I'm just preparing myself for England back into the year. So.
Yeah, have you heard about the crowds? Well, that's a big difference over in England, the vocal crowds, stuff like that, and you're going to go right into the Lions then, first game, Newcastle, 50,000 fans.
Yeah.
They're going to be comfy.
Yeah, heard it's going to be pretty hostile, which is cool. I've played in some hostile environments already, so cool. In Origins, I've played against Tonga over there in New Zealand, where the crowds are massive, so I'm sure this will be next level.
Mate, thanks so much for your time and good luck in the World Cup.
Thank you, brother.
Not
appreciate
too good
it.
Against
England. Ah, let's go, baby. I can hear the accent too.
There's some good beanie chat in there.
There was some great beanie chat, mate. And it was obviously cold out in Penrith that day. But, mate, I love the passion. I mean, obviously, Jerome Luai, like his teammate, most of his teammates out in Penrith, Brian To'o, et cetera, obviously Aussie born, but you can't deny the passion for their culture, their heritage. I understand it as an Italian, Australian. You understand it as an Irish Englishman. I don't know if that's what you want me to call you. But
we don't like that term, though.
But we certainly understand the passion for the heritage and Samoa. It means everything to these guys and Jerome. And, we're going to see this passion at the World Cup. I am so pumped. This is the one of the nations I'm more excited to see. Your predicted squad at theraw.com.au, we'll have it in the show notes. Man, where do we begin?
Well, I think we begin at the back, right? Because this is the big open question, right? So this Samoa team is completely stacked, right? Every single name on it is one that you will know. I think there's one from the Super League, which is, I think Mason Lino will get picked because they kind of lack his position a little bit.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's NRL talent across the board. They do have a couple maybes, shall we say, at this stage, because their team's too good, Cavs. So good that a lot of them might get picked for Australia. So obviously that starts at the back. Now, in my predicted squad is Joseph Suaalii, who I think will play for Samoa. However, it's possible that he'll be taken for Australia. We don't know yet. The time of recording, there's no announcement. And I've asked him, I'd say every time I've ever met him, which is not that many times, enough to be annoying, that whether he's going to play for Samoa or Australia, and he says he hasn't decided. So hopefully, I think it'll be better if he plays for Samoa because he'll get to play fullback, I think, which is a big deal for him. So we're told in the NRL rumour mill. But you look at, even if he doesn't play, it's going to be To'o, Crichton, Tango, Taylor May, Jerome Luai, all for the same club from the Penrith Panthers, who are, you know, the best team. Just minor premiers of the NRL, so pretty bloody good. So I think that aspect, like the back line, is going to be great. The forwards, just as good. You've got Junior Barlow's committed to Samoa since I wrote this piece, but good. Good prediction, one in. You've got Marty Taupau, who is, you know, Mr. Samoa, absolute culture warrior, goes to every game in his traditional Samoan gear. You've got Josh Alloa, you've got Kelma Tulangi, who's the best player in the West Tigers for my money. And I do say that as a Manly fan because he's going to join us next year. You've got Jaden Sua, you've got Raymond Faitala-Mariner, who I think he's going to play at lock, where he has played a couple of times for the Bulldogs. You've got Origins. You know, Murray Taulagi was in the Origin squad for Queensland, and I've got him as a reserve. Like, he's not going to make the Samoa first team.
Yeah, well.
Which is insane. And you've got Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, who's played Origin, and I don't think he might make the bench. Like, it depends on, there's a couple of moving parts. So, David Nofaluma scoring a heap of tries for the Melbourne Storm, highest try scorer in West Tigers history, might not even make the squad. So, it's pretty stacked.
Absolutely stacked. You've pretty much named them all there. I'm going to go straight to the top again because Joseph Suaalii, interesting that you've got him there at number one. And it would be interesting if he played fullback for Samoa, you'd have Joey Manu playing fullback for New Zealand and Teddy playing fullback for Australia. That's a lot of fullbacks at the Roosters or coming out of the Roosters. So that would be really interesting. I actually am going to disagree with you. I'd love to see him playing for Samoa. But he's got a wing spot. I think, and we'll get to our Australian episode eventually, but I think we're going to be talking Suaalii on one wing and Josh Adokar on the other wing for Australia, which is crazy because neither of them played Origin this year. But I just can't, I'm sure the passion is there for his heritage, but I can't see him turning down Big Mal if there's a wing spot for him in the Kangaroos side. I think that's where his ultimate goal lies. And, I think he'll grab it with both hands. So I think there's going to be a shift at the top from your squad, but definitely To'o, Crichton, May and Isaac Togo in the outside backs. We'd probably see – who would you put at fullback if Suaalii's not there?
I think it'll probably be Tabuai-Fido. I think Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, he's played a lot of fullback in the past, and I've got him on the bench, so I think it's an obvious move. But in the mid-season test, I think Charlie Staines played there, yeah. The Forbes Ferrari himself. Can I give you an aside? The greatest piece of rugby league journalism content I've ever come up with.
Tell me.
I was at a game. I'm sure I've told this. If people have heard me on other podcasts, they might have heard this story, but I'll tell it you anyway because I never have told you. I was at a game last year at Campbelltown, and a journalist, when I was still working for Forbes, and a journalist asked me who I worked for. And I said, and he asked me, where are you from? And I said, Forbes. And he went, oh, like Charlie Staines.
What?
And I was like, the Forbes Ferrari himself. I was like, no, like the international business newspaper. There you go.
How good is that, mate?
You go to Campbelltown. Well, and that happened in Campbelltown, which indeed was where the Pacific Test happened, where he did play fullback and looked pretty good, actually. He's he's an interesting character because he's clearly not good enough to get into that Penrith team, but I think he would get into a lot of other teams in the NRL as a fullback.
Yeah, he definitely,
or certainly as a winger.
Yeah, he definitely would. He played well in that mid-season test. I wouldn't be surprised to see him back there. I wouldn't be surprised to see Stephen Crichton at fullback as well. And you can put Staines in the centres, or you can bring Amiso Tabuai-Fido onto the wing or into the centres as well. They've got options. They're stacked with options. Even if you look at the halves, which is, it's so rare, and this is probably the biggest talking point with Samoa or Toa Samoa, when it comes to Pacific Islander sides, they're not usually stacked in the halves. But we've got Jerome Luai, of course, at 5'8", who we've spoken to. Anthony Milford at halfback, who I think in this squad will do quite well, you know, steering them around the park, and he's got a decent kicking game these days. You've got Chanel Harris-Tavita, who you've got as your number 18, and you've got Mason Lino, who's a half as well. Very rare that a Pacific Island side would have, you know, four halves in their squad who play at a decent caliber and level as well. So that's the most impressive part. You've got speed out wide and size out wide. You've got size and strength in the middle, and you've got these halves that, you know, between them have played a lot of NRL State of Origin as well. And man, this is just, the more I look at this side, the more and more impressed I am. And it makes me even more confident in my prediction in our English episode, which you're going to disagree with probably, but I think this Samoan side's going to win their group. They're going to beat England in the opening game, and I think they're going to win this group, and yeah, they could go deep into this World Cup.
Yeah, well, as we discussed in the England episode, whoever wins that first game gets relatively easier draw. I think they would run into PNG maybe in the next round and then and on and on. So, yeah, it's definitely a potential there. The interesting thing is that there's a collision course between both teams in this group in Tonga, and obviously me, you, and every right-thinking rugby league fan in the world wants to see Samoa play Tonga at some point.
In the grand final. At some point.
Yeah. I don't think they can play in the final. I think they could only play as deep as the semi-final. I'd have to go and double-check. I think there's two reasons why I think that they might fall down. I think Milford, I have to say, he was a very good young player. The older he has got, the worse he has got.
Yeah.
He has looked occasionally all right for Newcastle, which is really within the context of how bad Newcastle have been. And he's so on and off. When he's on, he's on. And when he's off, he's very much off and doesn't look interested. Luai, I think he's more of a support act player than he is the headline. You know, he's always played next to Nathan Cleary his entire career. And Nathan Cleary is the best halfback in the world, pretty much. So we very rarely see Luai play without Cleary, although at the start of this year, he actually played really, really well when Cleary was injured. So who knows? But I wonder about the nine as well, because look, I've actually put in my suggested squad, I put Aaron Clark. But Aaron Clark was in the Kiwi squad for their mid-season test, but didn't play, which means that he's still eligible for Samoa if he wanted to go back. He is eligible for Samoa as well. I think he'll end up getting picked for Samoa, but he's basically played 13 ever since the mid-season.
And you've put
for the Titans.
You've put Aaron there because Jaz Tavanga is injured, am I right? Because usually
he's Jaz Tavanga's out, yeah. So he's not playing. And then you've got New Brown, who's come back to the West Tigers team this year, who is a good 20-minute player. But I wouldn't want to depend on New Brown for 80 minutes. And then you're looking it's very, very thin. So you could see, I wonder if they might not try and move Mason Lino there to fit him in the team somewhere. There's a lot of players who could get moved around to cover the fact they don't really have a nine, which obviously is a pretty vital position.
I think Lino and Harris-Tavita could both play a little bit of nine. I agree with what you're saying to a degree with Luai and Milford. So Luai is the support act, but that's pretty much because Cleary's so good. I think Luai on his own, this is his chance really, step out of that shadow, and he's done it once or twice before. Milford as well, with Milford, I know he's had his ups and downs, but he's looked okay at times in a Newcastle Knights side, which has not been great, as you said. I think in this team, as long as his job is just to steer the ship, and that's important, that's his job, steer the ship, get the forwards to the middle, get the backs to the outside, put his kicks in the right places, I think Milford can go okay. There's a couple of players that I think you've left out, and for probably good reason. So, and that's obviously because we're waiting to see who the Australians are going to name, because you've got Jeremiah Nanai, who has had an incredible season. Who knows where he's going to land, but could you see him in this Samoan squad? And the other one is Tino Fasuamaoali, who again, same deal, you know, he could be in the green and gold, but if not, he could line up for this Samoan side. What are your thoughts, Mike?
Well, if they got Tino, that would help them, because I also don't think they have a 13. They've got Raymond Fatalamarina, who has played it, but I would say is more of a edge forward than he is a lock. So I think, yeah, I think that's also a massive problem. And what they'll probably end up doing is just running another forward through it and playing the full power game kind of idea.
Yeah, three middles.
Just go really lean into that. Tino would be the perfect player base to come back in, because that would solve one of their biggest two problems, which is the 13 and the 9, because he would just slot straight into 13 and play 80 minutes and be the best player on the field pretty much, because he usually is that in most games that he plays in. I love Tino. That mullet, though, I have to say. He also has I'd say him and Dom Young are in a competition for the face that doesn't match the body, of having like really young faces and really massive bodies. So there you go. Send me your favorite mismatching faces. But and not that I'll say that to Tino's face, though whenever I've met him, he's been a lovely man. So I think the other thing that Samoa are going to have, right, and this is underestimated, is their coaching team is really good.
Yeah.
So they've got Matt Parrish, who has been the coach for a long time. Then they've got Andrew Webster, who is a coach at Penrith, who's going to be the coach of the New Zealand Warriors next year.
Yeah.
So he's basically an NRL head coach in waiting. That's already confirmed. And then you've got Richard Agar, who has coached a million games in the Super League, coached the French national team. He's going to be an assistant to Webster at the Warriors next year. So that's basically three head coaches, which, you know, it's pretty good. And it's going to be perfect for them when they have to look at, you know, there's nothing that Richard Agar doesn't know about the England team, given that he was coaching the Super League this season. And there's not much doesn't know about the French, given that all their players come from Super League and he used to coach France.
Yeah.
So I think that inside knowledge is going to be great. And I know Webster's, like, on a cultural fit level, like, that's what he's all about. So he's going to get the Samoan side. He's going to be able to lean into that aspect of it and really help them along in that way in terms of making that such a central part of the experience. So, yeah, I think that
Webster's
coaching knowledge is going to be huge for Samoa.
Webster's been almost a masterstroke in terms of getting some of these players interested in representing their heritage. We've seen Josh Papali'i in the past in particular come out, you know, against the coaching staff of Samoa. You know, there's always been whispers that a lot of the players haven't been happy with Matt Parrish over the years, and he's been with them for a while. But he always gets compared to Christian Wolfe in terms of, you know, somehow being, you know, Wolfie was somehow able to bring this Tongan side together last World Cup. And there was a lot of criticism around Matt Parrish not being able to do the same. And we heard a lot of talk in the lead up to this World Cup about John's brothers and Sonny Bill Williams and guys like that, you know, trying to take over as coach of Samoa. But then they threw a curveball. They threw in Andrew Webster. And Webster obviously has got those Panthers connections. So all of a sudden, the entire back line is on board. And, you know, the Papali'is, et cetera, seem to have followed on. And it looks like a happy squad again. So I think Andrew Webster, just quietly, probably the masterstroke in the back room there, getting him on board. And Richard Agar, you've said it all. You know a lot more about him than I do. But a very interesting-looking back room at Samoa, that's for sure.
I like that you've called it interesting-looking there, because you just reminded me of something that happened at the Pacific Test. So Richard Agar was here, right? Now, I don't know Richard Agar. However, he did play for Rochdale Hornets in the early 2000s when I was a ball boy. So he was quite a crafty number six back in the day before he was a coach. He was, I think he was Wakefield or Castleford, and they got promoted, and he basically didn't want to go full time. So he moved to Rochdale Hornets. He's a great player, way too good for Rochdale Hornets. So I cornered him at a game and was chatting to him, and he said, "Oh, what are you doing?" And he walked past me at Parramatta, and I was like, Mine's Richard Egger. And we were chatting away, and he says, oh, I'm here with Samoa. Anyway, so I saw him at the Samoa game, and you'll love this. He was wearing, you know, when they come to the games, they're wearing traditional Samoan gear,
yeah,
including the coaches. And in a very sort of, you can take the boy out of England way, Richard Egger was wearing the traditional Samoan gear, but with tracky bottoms and trainers.
Of course.
which Marty Tapau was not wearing. So he was going the full hog. And Richard Egger was like, I'll wear it, but. So there you go. He's not, he can offer a lot to them. Askin Webster, sorry, I've distracted here with my Richard Egger. Yeah, I think there's a good mix as well between like young and old. You look at some of the guys like Junior Barlow, Marty Tapau, like they're real culture leaders.
Yeah.
You know, guys who are going to coach the young lads along. Jerome Luai even, obviously when he went to the last World Cup, he never played an NRL game as we mentioned in the chat.
Yeah.
And now he's kind of like the star. Like he's would be the most recognizable player, him and Papaliti, I would say, in this team. So they're going to have that experience. They're going to have guys like Taylan May, Isaac Dangwell, who are young and ready to go. Mate, it's going to be difficult. My theory is that England will, on the first day, will probably have too much. But the longer this team goes, the better it's going to get, I think.
All right, so we are in disagreement there. So I'm happy for that. I want to see this first game's going to be crazy. So you're saying England will win the first one. I'm saying Samoa will win the first one, and pretty much that will determine Group A, in our opinion. So one of us is going to be right, one of us is going to be wrong, or potentially, you know, France could shock everyone, and we'll both be wrong. Wouldn't that be incredible? But
that would be amazing, to be honest. As I've mentioned before on this podcast, should Samoa lose that first game,
yep,
but defeat France and Greece,
yep,
Warrington quarterfinal, probably against the winners of the group involving Tonga, which will probably be Tonga, and what that will stop the world. Yep. There'll be the dueling hackers of Warrington. Usually you go to Warrington, you see guys with tribal tattoos going nuts at each other, and you just think, it's just another Saturday night. But this will be the Saturday night to stop the world.
I love it.
There won't be a ticket sold. There won't be a ticket unsold for that one.
I love it, man. And look, how deep do you think they go? Because for me, it does depend on, you know, if guys like Tino Fasuama-Awali and potentially Suoli'i play, you know, their strongest squad can take it out. But will they get their strongest squad? That's the question. How far are you prepared to say this Toa Samoa side can go or will go at the World Cup this year?
I think they might beat Tonga, and then you're into I think actually the way it would work was they would then go back into England in the semi-final.
Ooh.
if that's how it went. So I'd have to double check the draw, but look, I think they can beat any team. Like I think the half situation will let them down because you need a spine. And obviously, if they get Suoli'i, he has never played fullback at senior level before, which is a problem. Crichton doesn't often play at fullback. Luai is a very good support man, but how good is he if he's the head man? Milford, I have been burned so many times before thinking this guy's, you know, you put that guy's... One of my happy places of the internet is watching Andy Milford highlights from back in the day, especially when he was at Canberra. But That was a long time ago. I don't trust their 9 and I don't trust their 13. And every bit of the tactics guy inside me goes, you need a 1, 6, 7, 9 and 13. And they're, unfortunately for Samoa, they're the weakest positions they have.
All right.
Not the 6, obviously. Yeah. Luai's a great player. But if you were going to pick a team and you said, I'd like to make these the strongest to weakest positions, the ones that Samoa are weakest in would be the ones you would like to be the strongest. Put it that way.
Look, we've seen Tonga go deep without traditional halves, so it's been done before with a side similar to this, but you've certainly poked some holes in the side that many are very excited about. And man, I just can't wait to see these guys in the field. And that, well, I joke all the time about Samoa, you know, beating England. I don't even joke, I'm pretty confident they can do it, but I'm just more and more excited about the opening game. Bring it on, and yeah, just it's going to be awesome. So can't wait to see some more England kicking it off.
I reckon, yeah, the moment that they, what, it'll be, what, 10 to 2 in Newcastle, 50,000 fans, and they start doing the sippy towel,
yeah,
it's going to be great.
Love it, man. Well, I think we've wrapped up Samoa. That leaves one more nation for Group A in our World Cup Chasers series, brought to you by theroar.com.au. It's obviously France, our next episode. Are you prepared to let the listeners know who you've got as our headline act? Because once again, I'm astounded by your pulling power, Mike, and cannot wait to listen to who you've got. Are we prepared to say it, or should we leave a teaser?
C'est mon mec préféré, le meilleur entraîneur australien, c'est Trent Robinson.
Well, there you go. I got all of it, except for the start bit. So that's fantastic. We'll see you next week. Somehow you end up, with all these episodes, you end up introducing the show and I end up closing the show. So, Mike, thanks for chasing kangaroos, or thanks for chasing with me. It's been awesome, mate, and we'll see you next week with the French episode. And Signor Le Trent Robinson, I can't speak French, I'm sorry.
À bientôt.